What if you could see what's happening inside your body? Prenuvo's whole body scan screens for hundreds of conditions, including many solid tumors, as early as stage one, all in under an hour. And now, you can go beyond imaging. With 80-plus blood biomarkers that help complete the picture, this Labor Day, save $300 off your scan when you book at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com. Save $300 now through September 8th at prenuvo.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast.
Reality Gaze, let's love.
$40 trillion in debt. That sounds alarming. Is it? I'm looking at U.S. debt clock, which, boy, if you want to go dizzy, go to usdebtclock.org. And they have about 4,000 debt calculators up there just to try to make you feel like an absolute disaster. That this is an absolute disaster. $40 trillion. This story broke yesterday, and I don't know about you guys, but I was left with this question of, like, is this, it feels bad. I remember back when we used to care about the national debt, it feels like we have not really cared about the national debt for quite a while. Pat Raykamp is a senior financial writer with 1834, a division of Old National Bank, and he is with us to at least share what Pat can about whether or not we should care about this. Pat, I know people like you care about the debt, right?
Well, I think we're all going to care. It's going to impact a lot of things within the economy if the nation doesn't get this debt issue under control.
So for a long time, there's been this attitude of, like, well, the idea of being concerned about the debt is an old fashioned economic principle, and it's all sort of just financial mumbo jumbo. It's just on the ledger sheet.
Maybe. I mean, the $40 trillion figure, it makes a nice headline, right?
It's alarming. Yes, it was like breaking news yesterday, $40 trillion, and you say, like, holy crap, what are we doing?
I think a couple of things, though. There were some forecasts from a couple years ago. They were expecting us to hit $40 trillion 2028, 2 years earlier than expected. So this is a snowballing effect here.
Is this... So people always want to take government spending and say, like, well, if I ran my household like the government did, like, you know, or if I ran my business, I'd be put under.
Sure.
There's some validity to that, but this also is like, do we owe somebody $40 trillion? Like, what is this exactly?
Individuals, institutions, other governments, they end up buying this debt. So, yes, I mean, it is out there and it is real. I think what's going to be real curious what happens, though, is now interest on the debt is annually running at $1 trillion with a T. That's just the interest.
That's why this thing has been, like, doubling.
That's what's increasing the size of the debt load dramatically. And think about it, $1 trillion. You could use that on interstates. You could use it for tax cuts. I mean, you could fill a whole whiteboard of things you want to use that money with, and it's literally just to service the debt. It's become the second largest line item in the government's expense.
There used to be an argument made anyway that, like, well, yeah, like the spending, the way we were spending the money was generating more activity and it was better for the economy. And so worrying about the debt is not the most important thing to worry about. Is there a point where it gets so high where you're like, well, now it is the most important thing to worry about?
There's some arguments to that where they like to look at debt to GDP, which is just how big is the economic output of the country versus its debt load. I get some of that, even though those numbers are getting alarming.
I don't know. I'm looking at a chart right now that shows debt to GDP, and our national debt is 123%.
I haven't seen any forecasts either that expect that to go down anytime soon. At the current trajectory, it's only going to get worse.
Both political parties, it's Republicans who have made the most hay about the national debt over the years, and it's also Republican administrations who have done their part to add to the national debt as well. So I don't know. Does any Does any political party have a claim to being the, you know, debt hawks, I guess?
I don't think either party typically cares about it now. I mean, when's the last time you've heard of any politician really talk about the debt and what's going on with this? But it's going to become an issue. And if the politicians don't get serious about this sooner or later, the bond market's going to care. And then things will get I think pretty interesting.
And that's the question, right? Because the stock market has been pretty hot.
Yes.
And there are concerns about Treasury.
That's just it. The yields, which is just the interest rate on the Treasuries, those have been rising. Well, why do we care? The 10-year U.S. Treasury, very closely tied to what 30-year fixed mortgage rates go for. 10-year Treasury yields have been up. Guess what? 30-year fixed mortgages have been up, which is the real popular lending tool for houses. I think now we're seeing 30-year fixed mortgages around 6.7%. The U.S. 10-year Treasury, if that goes above 5, I think it's pretty reasonable to expect mortgage rates above 7%. And the housing market's been pretty tough to begin with.
When you look at the ability to pay this back, right, part of the reason that the U.S. is able to issue debt is that investors trust that the government will pay it back.
That's
We're
exactly
good for
right.
it.
That's exactly right. It's considered a safe haven asset. The U.S. hasn't defaulted on its debt, so it gets a lot of leeway on this.
At $40 trillion, do you start?
There's been some chatter within the market that some investors are thinking when's enough is enough. And you're seeing yields rise, the interest rates rise on them to attract more buyers. There's been a couple of things going on that way. Interest rates are going up. Corporate bond issuance. All these mega tech AI companies are issuing a ton of debt to fund these data centers. Other countries, too, are issuing a lot of debt to fund their various projects. It just creates a very crowded market for all this debt.
So many, you know, so many companies, so many big financial, big tech,
exactly.
and big government. Just everybody's trying to borrow money.
Everyone's doing it, and there's only so many buyers for all this debt, so they have to raise rates to attract buyers.
Pat Raykamp is with 1834. It's part of Old National Bank. So the question, you know, if you're a young person, you're like, well, haven't we always? I mean, the national debt clock, sort of the billboard in New York City, has been a thing. It feels like forever.
It hasn't been, though.
It hasn't been.
2000, I was actually looking at this today. It was 2001 was the last year, I believe, the U.S. ran a surplus. And that was 4 or 5 years in a row they ran a surplus. Since then, 2002 to now, they've been running deficits. And it's been snowballing. Deficit spending is generally considered okay amongst developed nations. However, it's really been getting big figures. And we only have seen these type of big figures historically in major events like World War II, some big economic shock. Yes, we had COVID. Yes, there's the tensions with Iran, but these have generally been okay times.
Yeah.
And now this massive.
It doesn't feel like.
No.
I mean, yes, everything feels like a crisis today, but it doesn't feel like, holy crap, we should be borrowing trillions of dollars.
This isn't World War II where right. literally the entire globe is on edge. That's what makes.
So what are we doing?
That I don't know. It's been. I wish I had a good answer to that one, but nobody seems to care about this. And again, the bond market will start to take notice of this at some point. You're going to see yields and interest rates go up.
You mentioned other countries are carrying some big debt loads.
They are.
Similar to us or not quite?
From the most recent figures that I have, China's the next closest, and it's about half of what the U.S.'s debt total is. Any real developed nation, Japan, big debt loads, United Kingdom, France, Italy, India, Germany, they're all deficit spending to a degree. Now, the U.S. economy is a lot bigger, too, so there's a theory that we can afford it. But is this an area that you want to be number one at as far as total
right.
debt load?
I mean,
what if you could see what's happening inside your body? Prenuvo's whole body scan screens for hundreds of conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one, all in under an hour. And now you can go beyond imaging. With 80-plus blood biomarkers that help complete the picture. This Labor Day, save $300 off your scan when you book at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Save $300 now through September 8th at Prenuvo.com. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And here's the thing, Pat, like even when you look at our cities and our states where by statute they're required to run a balanced budget.
Yes.
it is not, I mean, it's a political loser to do what, like, what Mayor Fry and Mayor Herr are doing in Minneapolis and St. Paul, which is talking about making cuts and raising taxes. And their cuts, I mean, Minneapolis is like, we're eliminating 100 jobs. They're really eliminating like seven. It's just a bunch of open positions, right?
Sure.
No one has the guts to make large scale cuts because everything has a constituency that thinks it's important. And most of this stuff is important. It's good. But politically, who's voting for someone to, well, let's go reduce the debt. We're going to feel so good when that $40 trillion is down to $36
trillion. Well, that's just it. I mean, again, no one's really talking about it. Now,
that's not going to be my campaign. I'm never going to get elected if I tell people I'm going to reduce the debt.
It's not going to get you elected, but it's an unavoidable issue at some point. I mean, right now, the U.S. is running about a $2 trillion deficit. So you can either cut spending by a trillion and raise taxes by a trillion or some combination of that. There's no political appetite to do that.
Right. Right. But there is an end point at some point, you think, right?
Is there an end point on it? I mean, I suppose.
I mean, are we going to hit $100 trillion and you guys are going to, you and me are going to be back talking about that?
Well, I think we're going to be old men by that point, hopefully.
I don't know.
Unless we do it anytime soon. It's hard to know where this is going to go. But I mean, I do keep going back to this point, is they're going to have to address it at some point. Because if they don't, yields on U.S. treasuries are going to keep going up. It's going to push mortgage rates up even higher. And people are pretty agitated at 6.7% mortgages versus the 3.1% we got used to.
President Trump in 2016 said he was going to eliminate the national debt.
It stands at $40 trillion, so that didn't happen.
Didn't quite work out. It's tough. I mean, even like when Elon Musk and Doge kind of went to try to reduce federal spending, it's tough. It's tough to fight the sort of the boulder that just rolls downhill, you know?
The thing I'll say about Doge, and from a financial aspect, I think it was somewhat interesting, is he did a lot of stuff around the margins. What are the big outlays within federal government? Social Security, Medicare, the net interest on the debt, and defense. Those are pretty tough areas to cut.
Yeah. It's super interesting stuff. $40 trillion. It feels bad. Can't we just print more money?
Well, that's kind of what we're doing now, yes. The debt issuance has been going up to help fund what's going on. Now, I don't want to make this alarmist. It's not like government workers are sort of losing paychecks immediately or somehow Medicare is just going to stop. That's not what's going to happen in this case.
Texter says, I will vote for someone who will reduce the debt. There's at least one vote.
I'd have to look at what congressional districts
are on. It used to be a popular campaigning thing, but now the popular way to campaign is you just give stuff away to everybody.
Well, yeah, you either...
And you say you're going to cut the waste. Well, then you get to office and everyone's like, well, that's not waste. That's my favorite program.
Right. That's exactly it.
Oof. Pat, good stuff. Thank you for shedding a little light on all this for us.
Thanks, Jason.
Pat Raycamp, 1834, a senior financial writer there, division of Old National Bank. Let's break. In a minute, we talked a little bit about the president. There's been more action today. And look, I know a lot of you guys want to rag on Donald Trump, but can you blame the guy for wanting his name on the Kennedy Center? They said he couldn't have his name. They couldn't call it the Trump Kennedy Center. Now they want to put it on. I would like to know, what would you like your name on? What would you like? Because you deserve it. Name something after you. 651-461-9226. You better believe that I've been thinking about what I would name after me. I mean, I have a little bit of the Trump spirit in me, don't you think? There's a little bit. Drive Time back in just a minute.
What if you could see what's happening inside your body? Prenuvo's whole body scan screens for hundreds of conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one, all in under an hour. And now, you can go beyond imaging with 80-plus blood biomarkers that help complete the picture. This Labor Day, save $300 off your scan when you book at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com. Save $300 now through September 8th at prenuvo.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming to you live from the Jason DeRussia Memorial. Well, we don't want a memorial. We don't want to kill me. Well, maybe some of you do.
Yeah, let's not do that yet.
I'm not going to lie. I think it would be cool to like have a building at your alma mater named after you. Right? Like, don't
you want something at Marquette?
Yeah, I'd love to have something at Marquette named after me.
You know, that usually comes with like a giant donation. Right?
I know. And I donate to Marquette University.
No, I said giant donation.
That's right. So currently, I probably could get naming rights to a urinal. That's about what? This is the Jason DeRussia pisser. Here you go. Can you say pisser on the radio? Is that
you just did.
All right. It's National Radio Day. Celebrate this, everybody. That's right. What would, if you could have anything named after you, 651-461-9226. On YouTube, Joe says he would lend his name to a 24/7 coffee shop microbrewery. That name recognition would support the business model for sure, he says. Joe Bear, BHR. Solid name.
Absolutely.
Solid name. Jason DeRussia, my name gets mispronounced all the time.
DeRussia?
Yeah. That's fine. Texter says, I would like, there's an island in Lake Pepin.
Mm.
I'd like to name after my grandfather. That's nice. Another texter, DeRussia, you should get a wastewater treatment plant named after you like Dave Barry did. I was thinking about this earlier today because, you know, like it's the latest drama about whatever the, you know, Trump wants to get everything named after himself. Do you think Trump wants it named after himself or do you think it's the sycophants who think he's going to be pleased?
Well, I mean, I think they think he's going to be pleased because he wants the stuff named after him. Yes. I don't know that those are mutually exclusive is my point.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was showing off the helipad today. I was
so
trying to find
the
sound
helipad.
Yeah, he was trying to show off the helipad today. And I think he had some sort of either etching or maybe he was signing wet concrete or I don't know exactly, but he was getting his name affixed to the helipad and was joking that they won't be able to take this down, referencing the Kennedy Center where they took his name down temporarily, although it appears that's going back up. So
it is a strange sort of obsession, but to me, it's sort of an understandable obsession because don't you want to be remembered? There's something about having something named after you that gives a little bit of comfort in that we know that our time here is temporary, especially if you're someone such that you think you're worthy of running for president, that you actually do it. And then you become president, you know you're going to be remembered. But, you know, there's still like even the people with the biggest egos are also the most delicate and the most like.
Happy National Radio Day.
Self-doubting. Speaking as someone who has spent my entire career surrounded by people who are outwardly egotistical.
Yeah.
And inwardly, incredibly insecure.
Insecure, yes.
And to me, like,
amazing that, how often that goes together.
Yeah, right. That's part of the bit, right? So the president signed this granite helipad with hand-carved lettering, and it's the image of this thing. It's quite something.
You did ask an interesting question, though. Don't you want to be remembered?
Right.
And I guess the instinct that comes or the instant answer that comes into my brain with that is, well, yeah, I want to be remembered by people whose lives I made an impact in, by people who maybe, I don't know, somehow made better decisions or something out of knowing me. That's the kind of remembrance that I want. I don't think when you affix your name to things, to buildings, to parks, to lakes, I mean, you know, do people really remember who that person was? We just had that whole fight, obviously, over Bidet Mikoska, right?
Right.
And people were screaming and hollering about erasing of
history.
You're
erasing the history of
And 95%
Calhoun.
Of the people that were screaming about erasing history had no idea who John C. Calhoun was. So,
well, how else are we supposed to learn history if not for what, the name of a lake?
I don't know. Maybe a book in a classroom? Crazy idea, I know. But I don't know that affixing your name to stuff necessarily does that.
No, but it makes you feel better. Like, wouldn't you like something named after you?
I would like to be remembered by people whose lives I had an impact in. If that results in putting a name on something, fine. But I don't care to have my name on a building personally or anything else.
Gabriel Johnson's skate park for the elderly. That's nice.
Why not?
What I would like to do is I would like my name right behind me, like right on this wall,
okay,
like a plaque large enough so someday when like all of the shows are on camera, you've got my name just irritating the living daylights out of Anita, out of Adam, out
everybody,
of Chad.
All of them.
Shaletta, when she's in, everybody would be so pissed.
Well, Shaletta would get her own plaque and try to hang it on top
probably,
of your plaque.
Yeah,
so
it's true. Dan Gouget, who runs the excellent Pie Chasers Facebook group. It's a pizza-focused Facebook group. Would like the Leaning Tower of Pizza to be named after him as the Leaning Tower of Pie Chasers. I think that's pretty good.
Sure.
Another texter wants to see his or her name on the Trump building in New York. Another texter says, I'd like to see my name on the mailbox with temporary letters that could be removed when the next owner goes in. All right. I wouldn't mind if I could have a John Russell Memorial Dunkin' Donuts frying machine. That would be pretty good.
When you initially pitched this idea of what would we name after ourselves at the radio station.
Yeah, right.
I immediately thought for you.
Yeah.
Of the production studio down the hall, you don't get the big main studio.
Right.
We've got to reserve that for a corporation that wants to give us a little bit of dollars, right? And we'll name the studio after you. You get the production studio down the hall that you like to haunt in.
That I like
and
to do my work.
You can have that one. All right. Think that's fine.
I'll take that.
Me, if
a
you
DeRusha
insisted.
A DeRusha studio would be like, what an honor.
Yeah, right.
That'd be great.
For me, I think the appropriate thing to name after me here, and again, I'd rather not, but.
Yeah,
that doesn't fit the bit. The Nerve Center. Can you turn the camera and kind of show the people the Nerve Center through that window there? I don't know if it'll reflect or not. But that's the Nerve Center of WCCO right there if you're watching us on YouTube. All of the engineering stuff in there, bells, switches. I like to think of myself as the Nerve Center of this show, Jason. So if you're going to name something after me, maybe that room in there should be named.
How about the delay? You could, like, it could be the Dan Cook 7 seconds.
Well, the delay's
delay.
In the room, so
that's part
why
of
are
that.
You trying to shrink me down from
to the
room
delay?
Just to the delay? That seems rather reductive on your part.
It is. Text away. What what would you like named after you? Or what should we name after me? Maybe even better. 651-461-9226. One texter has an idea. What are you guys naming after me? This is much better. This is a better idea for a segment. Tell me more about me. Wonderful. Drive Time back in just a minute. The people are all over it, Dan. When I asked for ideas of what should be named after me. I mean, why not? Why not? Andrew on YouTube says Carnes and Underwood should be renamed Jason and DeRusha. Now, how awesome would that be if everybody located at that intersection for 2 weeks, like end their broadcast or whatever, would be like, we're located at the intersection of Jason and DeRusha. That would be awesome.
While you were around to appreciate it, but I ask you again, and to my point earlier, do you know who Mr. Carnes or Mrs. Underwood are? Eventually, those just become names that nobody knows.
That's true, and that's fine.
Okay, that's what I'm saying, as long as you're good with it.
I mean, I know that, like, you know, if you have a college building named after you, like a dorm, And you live in that dorm. Don't you like Google the name to see what it was? Today, college kids Google the name so they can figure out if they're going to be outraged about it and protest to get them to change the name. Now, I'm sure, like, if some building were named after me at Marquette University, which, can you get a building named after you for donating $5,000 a year? Probably not.
Probably not. Maybe a set of steak knives.
Like, when people Google me and they're like, this guy? Like, they could find a take that would make them mad.
Probably,
I'm sure.
A lot of people coming up with urinals. I don't know what that's about.
The hidden row of Biffies at the grocery store by the barn at the state fair should be called Derushing Row. They should change the Ego lawnmower to the Jason Derusha lawnmower. That's very good. Very good.
A lot of people talking about the pergola out at the state fair. Again, if you haven't heard the news, those of you that have been afternoon radio fans out at the state fair for years know you get baked. Yeah. Not that kind of baked. Different baked in the sun, sitting in the benches outside of WCCO radio in the afternoon. But thanks to our friends at Lindis Construction, they've constructed this new pergola out there. So you will have beautiful shade while you watch the afternoon shows here on WCCO radio. It's going to be awesome.
I'm going to put up a big sign.
You're going to have to beat noon to three to do it.
You think that show has enough preparation to go put a sign and give themselves naming
rights of
that thing?
I think all the years that he's been complaining and asking for something like this,
no,
he's not. He's going to be there first thing Thursday morning to stake his claim.
Well, yeah, I'm coming out there Wednesday. Chad's playing checkers.
Why are you out there on Wednesday?
So I could put the sign up and call it the Jason Derusha Pergola. We got to beat them, Dan. Where's your innovation? You're the
look.
You called yourself the nerve-setter of this thing.
I get paid to be at the fair for seven days.
Oh my gosh.
And if you think I'm coming out there earlier, you're out your mind.
True inspiration. I don't mean to bring up any old issues, but Jason certainly deserves a snowplow named after him. Similarly, a texter said, I named my car Jason DeSlusha.
You know, that's very kind.
Dan Cooper on YouTube says, I take credit for Cooper Street at the fairgrounds.
Why not, right?
That's pretty good, Dan. Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Now, is that like Kramer and Seinfeld where you got to paint the lines in it and, you know, clean it up like it's a highway?
Probably,
thing?
If it's your street.
You're going to claim it, I'm just saying.
Our friend Dula says, also wants me to have a snowplow, but he's suggesting calling it Jason Snows Us Again. That's pretty good. It's pretty good. I think the Ego lawnmower is probably the best.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's very creative. Well done by that listener.
Now, our friend Bill McCreevy texted in and enjoyed how this segment went from enough about me, let me tell you a little bit about myself. I did ask Bill if I could maybe get like a casket model named after me. You know, you're going through the catalog over there at Washburn McCreevy.
Hey, my dad just died. Can we get the Derusha? Is that what you want?
Kinda, yeah. It'd be fine. Like, once I had a cocktail named after me at Lolo's in Stillwater.
That's nice.
And I was like, this is so cool. Like, finally, like, I'm getting something named after me. This is awesome. And Joe, the owner, and Joe is an excellent bartender. Very creative with his cocktails. Really, really good. Joe's like, Jason, I named a cocktail after you. And Mark Rosen had a cocktail named after him.
Sure.
The cocktail that was named after me was called Kylie's Arm Candy. which still wasn't. It was named after Kylie. Now, I was the arm candy, so that was the joke. But was that... was that really named after me? It was close.
Not in the way you wanted to.
Not in the way I wanted, which was the genius, yes. And that's how you know Joe's a good man. Yeah. Another texter says the toilets at CCO Radio could be called Jason DeFlusha. That's good.
It would be if they flushed on a regular basis.
There is that. Texter says, I'd start a parade and name the Grand Marshal car after him. And then I wouldn't allow him to be the Grand Marshal.
Closed circuit to Maple Grove.
That'd be brilliant. That would be brilliant.
That's fantastic.
547.
Should we be mad that they're doing a better show at home?
I know. The texts are great. If I had better preparation, I would have come up with all these jokes. But, you know, I had to drop Sam at the airport today. It was a busy day for the DeRushes. In a minute. Airplane sex. Underrated? Overrated? Properly rated? We'll talk about that in just a minute. Every morning, Dan Cook sends me about, I don't know, 30, 40 story ideas, things that we possibly could talk about on the show. Headline: I tried airplane sex. It was awkward and disgusting. Sydney Summers, for sure her real name, Metro UK's sex columnist. Now, I don't know why Dan Cook sent this to me. Dan, have you ever attempted to join the Mile High Club?
Here's the thing.
Oh. Well,
I don't even want to get up to
that
go.
That was not a quick no.
Well, I mean, I'm getting there. I'm building to the no. I don't even want to get up out of my seat to use the bathroom.
She was building to the no also.
The last thing I want to do is try to squeeze into this little closet and say, hey, let's get something done.
Never again, I muttered, plopping myself down on my airplane seat. My partner, Seb, asterisk, not his real name, sat down next to me and sighed, yeah, not going through that again. We just found out the Mile High Club was a scam. 30 minutes into our flight back to London from romantic Florence, we attempted to have sex in the airplane bathroom. I mean, first of all, like, I get it. You're a sex columnist. Like, you need some material. But, like, I mean, my wife is in the car right now on her way downtown. There is a chance she's listening to this. And I've always been honest with you guys, and I'm going to be honest with you here. I have tried to have sex with my wife in a bathroom before, but not in an airplane bathroom. Like, my God. Like, the flight attendants are, like, right there. And, like, I'm supposed to walk out afterwards? Like, look, when I'm done, I work up a sweat. You know, like, I'm giving it my all. I'm not getting out of the airplane. And believe me, when she's done, she's, you know, not doing that. No way. Absolutely not. Private jet? Sure. Private jet for sure. Commercial? Come on. Now, I told you about the last time I was in first class, I ended up buying the soap. Because it smelled so good in the bathroom. That's all I'm doing. That's it. Using it and washing my hands. Cook, you nothing you want to add after that?
Not since you said Alyssa might be listening.
I'd have some explaining to do after this if she is listening. If not, don't tell her. Don't tell her we said that. Continental Diamond. Time check is 5:57. Henry's next.
What you're listening to presumably doesn't suck, so neither should your sound system. Sonos lets you listen seamlessly from room to room. Same great sound, expertly tuned, astonishingly clear. It's not magic, but it's not not magic.